Well, I got my coffee and I'm ready to get started. Are you?
I'm ready.
All right. So I think this podcast, we're just going to talk about Wellbeing Week. I know the American Bar Association focuses a week or dedicates a week in May to kind of focus on that. Because I guess, I don't know, that's what we're going to find out. Why is that a problem and how it started and kind of how you deal with your mental health. So first, let's just get a little background again. How long have you been an attorney?
I've been licensed since September of 1998, so over 25 years,
okay.
The past 25 years.
Okay. So in the past 25 years, have you yourself struggled in mental health?
I think to varying degrees. I think all attorneys struggle with mental health because they have their own stresses as individuals, but then they take on all their clients' stresses. As far as me personally, I've been pretty good about how to deal with that stress, but I think all attorneys, including me, do have to deal with and monitor their mental health on a regular basis.
And the American Bar Association kind of came out with this, I'm not going to say super recently, but in 2017. So are you surprised that it took so long for them to dedicate a week like this?
Yeah, I mean, I think there used to be a day. And now they've got like a week, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's a month. Quite frankly, there's always been CLEs regarding this, although it's getting more attention recently. But, you know, the ABA has known through statistics, for example, that attorneys probably have the highest rate of suicides, depression, and alcoholism. And so as they do these studies, you know, they wanted to highlight these issues and try to make attorneys more aware of, focusing on their mental health.
I think after COVID, we noticed that a lot of people struggled with mental health. Do you think that affected attorneys, like going through COVID and then after?
I think so. I mean, obviously COVID put a lot of people at home without social contact. Most attorneys have lots of contact with other people, whether it's in their firms, you know, even if they're solos, they deal with their clients, they deal with courts, or they deal with the opposing attorneys, or they just deal with themselves in social situations or continuing legal education programs. So it doesn't surprise me that attorneys were just affected by COVID just as much as anybody else.
And so how do you prioritize, like, your mental health? What do you do or is it a priority to you now?
Well, I just want to be clear that I think that the wellness initiative of the ABA, and quite frankly, a lot of bar associations, goes beyond just mental health. Mental health is what we think about, but, you know, it also goes to your physical health. If someone doesn't keep in shape or doesn't do exercise to release endorphins, you know, or they drink alcohol, there's a lot of things that can happen. So when we're talking about wellness, I think, you know, we can talk about what do you do physically, what do you do mentally. I think as far as I'm concerned, as far as what I do, I've always been pretty good about trying not to let my clients' problems become my problems. Some attorneys get really, really connected to their clients and really connected to their cases. I have some ongoing cases right now where my opposing counsels have made those cases very personal to them. And I kind of wonder and sometimes ask my opposing counsels, why are you making this case so personal to you? Because then they take on their clients' emotions. And the way I feel like is I should be an objective advocate for my client, and I can't do that by getting down into the weeds, right? I have to keep my eyes, you know, on the forest, you know, but whether it's just relaxing, whether it's getting a good night's sleep, you know, I get good night's sleep every night. I try to make sure that I shut down my work whenever I leave the office. Sometimes that requires me to stay at the office later than I want. But whenever I leave, when I go home, I'm not thinking about work. I'm not continuing to work at home. And it's kind of funny, I've gotten used to carrying my backpack and my computer home. But then it seems like every night I do that, I go back the next morning, never have opened it. And I used to not be that way. And so I used to work, you know, sometimes 2 or 3 days straight, like overnight, office was empty and I was still working. And so one thing I learned over the years is I have to cut work off at some point. The problems are not ever going to magically disappear overnight. There are things that can be done at least up until midnight, because in Texas we have e-filing up until midnight. But even staying that long is too late. So the things I do is to make sure I get a good night's sleep, that I leave the office at a decent hour. I don't try to work at home. There are other things we're going to talk about in terms of, you know, not drinking or whatever, but there's a lot of things that I try to do. And just naturally, I'm the kind of person that doesn't, I'm very patient, very tolerant. And so I think just me individually, I have a good physiology for this practice.
I think that's good to know, because I think a lot of people do that. I'm guilty of taking my laptop home, saying that I'm going to do something, and then like just putting it down and picking it up right back in the morning, right exactly where I left it down the night before, because I just couldn't get around to it, you know. So I totally understand that. Is there like any activity that you do besides, you know, making sure that, you know, you're checking off the box as far as going to sleep early and getting enough rest?
Well, you know, I just think you have to have a life outside of the practice of law. And, you know, some people are parents, and so, you know, they have their kids to attend to. Some people have hobbies. You know that I don't journal as much as I want, but I do journal from time to time. So you can sort of get your emotions and thoughts out in writing, get them out of your head and onto something so that it's not bottled up in you. You know, I do a lot of reading, but I think that the main point is you have to have other things to do than just the practice of law. And again, I used to be that I was a lawyer 24/7. And yes, I'm a licensed lawyer 24/7, but I don't carry that burden with me all the time. And I used to do that. And I think, you know, it took a while in my career to kind of figure that out. And I would say probably about, you know, 12, 13 years ago, I finally figured it out and stopped working all those overnights or whatever. And I think, you know, the past 10 years I've had a handful of overnights, but I try to make those very rare. And also I think that, you know, attorneys are sometimes don't get the help they need, and whether it's mental therapy help or whether it's actual legal help with the work, especially for those solo and small attorneys, small firm attorneys, sometimes they need help to do their job. And they just don't pull the trigger. And so then they take on all that burden themselves. And if they just had an assistant or a paralegal or somebody to help them with the work or to focus on the admin part while they do the legal part or whatever the case may be. But you got to have a life outside the law, and you got to have some help inside the law.
So you said that you realized that it was important a few years back. What was the turning point for you to realize that it was important to you?
Well, I used to have a high volume debt collection litigation firm. And so in Texas, I was the highest filing debt collection lawyer in Texas. I had thousands upon thousands of cases all throughout Texas at any one time. And that's when I was working overnights and all that kind of stuff. And it got to the point where I realized with so many cases, I really wasn't practicing law anymore. I was just pushing paper. And I didn't like that practice. I didn't like, I was busy and I was making money, but I wasn't actually practicing law, because I was just, I could do these cases, you know, without even looking at them. And so it just became routine. And I decided to give up that practice. And I literally gave all my accounts back to my creditor clients, said, I'm not doing this anymore. And I decided to do a different type of practice that focused on people and consumer and real estate and all that. And so I think once I realized that, that led me to a better way of practicing.
Right. I know that the ABA has a couple of CLEs this week to kind of focus on well-being, and one of theirs is Let's Not Get a Drink. And I, if I recall correctly, you gave up drinking, I think it was for your New Year's resolution, and it was kind of on and off a little bit, but I think more recently you've stuck to it. So what made you want to give up drinking? Did it have to do with any of that?
No, I've never been a hard drinker. I've never really like had alcohol in the home. I was a social drinker, but because I don't cook, you know, I was always going out a lot. So obviously, you could say you're not a heavy drinker, but if you drink while you're going out and you go out all the time, then obviously you're drinking all the time, even if it's just one or two drinks. So I've had times before where I've quit drinking for a few months, and then you just think, okay, well, I'm going to have one drink with dinner. What's that going to hurt? But I think that I decided to change my way of life. You know, I wanted to make sure that I had a clear head. I'm trying to improve my physical health in addition to my mental health. And so, you know, yes, I've given up drinking. I think that one of the things I've learned is you have to choose your identity. Even if you don't have that identity right now, choose the person you want to be and then identify as that person. And so, some people say, oh, well, I'm not drinking, you know, but they really mean I'm not drinking at the moment, right? And in my mind, my identity is I am not a drinker. And so I made that shift in my mind, said, I'm not a drinker. I don't drink. I'm not a drinker. I don't even think about it. The same way I recently gave up red meat, right? I gave up eating beef, any kind of beef, cow, and pig. And so I still have fish and chicken, but, you know, I identify now as someone who doesn't eat meat. And again, that's another way of helping me with my physical. You know, there have been studies to show, you know, eating meat can also kind of weigh you down mentally. So I just want to be clear and focused and be honest. Once I had that identity shift, I did not miss it. You know, if I want a hamburger, I'll get a Beyond Beef hamburger. Right. I think it's very telling how you identify with the thing that you want to give up.
How do you feel now that you've given up like those things? Do you overall feel better? Like, are you actually seeing a difference in your mental health and your physical health overall?
Yeah, I am definitely seeing a difference. I think that, you know, just when you go home, let's say, for example, or you have for dinner a heavy, you know, beef meal, right? And let's just think about what I used to do. So, you know, if I don't cook and my wife and I would go out all the time, then after work, we'd go and eat, and I'd have beef and a drink. And then by the time, you know, that just kind of weighed you down, right? And then the time I got home, I was sleepy and tired, and it just wasn't what I wanted out of life. And so now, you know, when we eat dinner, you know, there's salads, soups, chicken, fish, whatever, but they're light meals, no alcohol. I still feel good after the meal. And so I definitely see a change. I'm getting up earlier now. So I think part of the whole thing with alcohol and meat is they have this effect on you throughout the night. So then you're tired when you wake up, or you want to wake up later. And so by not having that, you know, I'm able to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and not feel bad about it.
Good. So I just kind of want to just touch over everything that we've kind of been just discussing, but and the importance of it. So I think it's important just overall for any professional career that people are really considering their well-being, their mental health, their physical health, and not just this week, obviously, but all the time. Is there any advice that you can give to attorneys who have been in the game for a while, or new attorneys who are maybe just getting started, that, you know, would be helpful for them to know as they're getting started, and things to maybe look out for and prevent, you know, to help them in the long run?
Well, I certainly think that our profession has a lot of peer pressure. So when we go out for social gatherings, we go out to galas, we go out to mixers, to parties. There's always going to be, you know, alcohol out there or whatever, so you've got to prepare for that in advance. As far as the stresses, I think what's really good, Facebook has a lot of attorney groups. At least here in Texas, we've done a very good job of having a lot of different types of attorney groups. And so there are groups, just general groups to specific practice area groups. We also have wellness groups. You know, we also have hobby groups for attorneys. People who like to go outdoors, you know, there's a separate group for them. You know, people who just need a place to vent, you know, we've got a venting group for lawyers. You know, we've got a wellness group for lawyers. You know, we have a, what I call like a grievance group. So if someone dies or there's some issues, you know, people can post in that group and get some sympathy. So back in the day before there was, you know, the big internet groups, I remember that there were, at least here in Houston, there's a group called Solo Supporting Solos, and they would meet once a month, like at 7 o'clock in a local eatery. That would be like their support group. So, you know, there are support groups. I think the attorneys don't have to think they're alone. They don't have to think that the struggles that they're facing are unique to them. I think a lot of attorneys look at Facebook or look at other people and think, well, they got it together and I don't. But attorneys are just as prone to showing the good and hiding the bad, right? So you can go on Facebook, you can go online, you can see people. And of course, attorneys want to present a good face to not only their clients and to the judges, but also to their peers, lest we be judged to be inadequate. Mm-hmm. Attorneys have just as much of those problems as anybody else. So don't believe everything you see, because behind that facade, there's an attorney who is struggling about, you know, what they messed up for a client. There's an attorney struggling with work overload. There's an attorney struggling with, you know, addiction or alcohol or depression or problems at home. Mm-hmm. And so you definitely need to reach out. There's also the Texas Lawyers Assistance Program is a state bar run program here in Texas that allows attorneys to call and get help. They can do it either with their name or they can call anonymously. We also have some free counseling sessions that an attorney can do. So there's different ways that the profession is trying to help those and trying to lower those numbers I talked about in the beginning in terms of suicide, depression, and alcoholism. But don't feel like you have to do this all alone. Now, I will say this, Alexis, even though we're focusing on attorneys, you know, I have a team of 13. And so there's only two of us, me and my associates, who are attorneys. That doesn't mean that the people inside my firm also don't have some of those same stresses. I have paralegals assigned to cases. You know, I've got a marketing team who's got certain things that they got to do and quotas they got to meet. So why don't you tell us about how you address your well-being? And given that I'm about to be 55 and you're what, 25?
Yes.
And so we're 30 years apart. So we're definitely different generations. So I think our audience would appreciate, you know, they may appreciate what I have to say, but coming from someone your age who's not an attorney, but who works for an attorney, how do you survive mentally?
Well, a lot of my mental, struggle also has to do with like trying to balance work life and home life. I have two kids, so it's definitely not easy having to balance them, especially, you know, when you want the best for, I mean, personally, I want the best for the firm. And so I always feel like I need to do everything above and beyond to try and get what I need to get done for the sake of the firm. And I think I was also having that problem where I was going home and working at one point, even if it was just like continuing education, doing, you know, like classes and stuff to learn how I can better apply my knowledge to the firm. And, you know, there was a point where I was like, okay, well, maybe I need to start going to the gym again And I did start doing that, but I think it was also overwhelming because it was like, I was physically tired or mentally tired here that it was kind of draining my physical well-being.
And let's just be clear, when we're talking about you having kids, the ages of your kids are...
Yes, I have a one-year-old and a five-year-old.
Right, so this is not just like having teenagers who can take care of themselves.
Right.
So when you go home at night as a mother, I mean, you obviously have a partner, you have help, but still, you go home at night, you're taking care of a one-year-old and a five-year-old. So then trying to figure out how to go to the gym and deal with everything else. So how do you cope?
I also try to get a good amount of sleep. I try to make sure that my kids are in bed early. One, because I think that they need as much sleep as possible. That's when they're growing. But getting them in bed early is also getting me in bed early. I've recently been trying to read. I used to just watch TV, but I would notice that I would kind of sacrifice my sleep to watch more TV, and that wasn't really helping me either. And when I read, it may not be educational, but it's something that I'm picturing in my mind, like a leisure book, and it kind of tires me out a little bit. And before I know it, I'm like, oh, it's 9:30. Great. I'm tired. I'm ready to go to sleep. Also, I physically do enjoy going to the gym, but if I had to choose, I would play slow pitch softball. I feel like that's kind of like my getaway. And any time that I am able to get away, I know that I kind of forget about everything. Sometimes I forget that I'm a mom because my kids are not with me. I don't have to worry about them. And I'm able to just like be myself, have like all the relaxation and just enjoy it. And, you know, it's nice to actually get away for a while, for a weekend to go play, especially in something that you know is going to, you're in your own world there. You don't think about anything else but that. So.
I mean, that's your hobby. I mean, you used to be a softball player in high school and in college. And so your getaway is having time, whether it's yourself or with your partner, to go for a weekend and play softball. And that gets you out of most times not having to have the kids with you.
Right.
And then also having a physical exercise mm-hmm. in addition to just mentally not having to think about anything.
Right.
And I think that's important for people to understand is that, look, there are things you need to have something else outside of the law. Right. So Alexis has kids. You know, she's got a partner. She's got her softball. So there's things that she has outside the law. And I would say that attorneys and their team members need to have that same thing. You know, we definitely have mothers and fathers who are a part of our team. And of course, they have, you know, kids from varying ages, but they've got to deal with that. You know, we have one member of our team that likes to play soccer, so he deals with that. You know, we got someone else who loves Star Wars, so he, you know, that's his little hobby, and he recently went to Disneyland for a week. And so there are different things that I think that are the audience should understand, that even though we're talking about attorneys, that I don't want people to mistake the fact that only attorneys have these problems.
Right.
You know, I think that everyone in our society, just as the way we are in terms of internet and ego and the way we make ourselves look to everybody, are going to have these problems. But within law firms, you know, it's not just me taking on the burden of our clients, right? It's our entire team. We've got to make sure that we're always doing things to move our cases forward, to somehow make our team look good. And, you know, you may not deal directly with client services, right? But you have to constantly do, you and your team member have to constantly do things to help bring in other people, right? And so I just want to make sure that people understand it's more than just about me as the attorney, that it's about you. And so what kind of things do you think your friends or millennials, I don't know what generation you fall in. I don't know if you're a Z or a millennial, but someone who's in their 20s now,
yeah,
I think would operate very differently than someone who's in their 50s. So we've heard about you. What do you think other people are doing that you've heard?
Therapy. I know that therapy has been very popular lately, and not just to cope with like traumas and stuff, but just a way to learn how to manage stress. Because I really think that because my generation was so young, we went through this like COVID phase. I really think COVID affected a lot of people my age. And so I've noticed that a lot of peers and myself have even considered therapy. And I know, I think back in the day, therapy was kind of like a what's wrong with you type of thing. And now it's more of like, you're just kind of learning how to cope with stress. And
yeah, I think therapy, you know, it's kind of weird because I now see like even apps for right. therapy where you can just, you know, call up someone on this app and instantly get a therapist, you know, and it, therapy used to be taboo.
Right.
But you didn't want to tell anybody that you were in therapy.
Right.
And now, like, therapy is just out in the open. And I think certainly younger generations understand that therapy is not a bad, right? It's actually there to help you, and it's a good thing. I quite frankly still think that the people in my generation or older probably still have this tilted view of therapy as a majority. I mean, I'm not saying there's certainly enlightened souls who know better, but it is weird the kind of the openness that I see therapy discuss. You know, everything is an app today, and therapy is now an app.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I've kind of looked into them too, so they're pretty interesting.
Yeah.
But as an attorney and the owner of a firm, how do you, and I know the answer to this, but I want everyone else to know, is how and what do you do to help your team with their overall well-being?
Well, I don't know if the answer that I'm going to give is the answer that you know, but if I don't, you can chime in.
Okay.
I mean, certainly I try to give regular hours and try not to overwork people. I definitely stress in our meetings work-life balance. We definitely have team bonding experiences every month. So we have team meetings where we discuss whatever we need to with the firm. Then we'll have a movie, you know, just kind of get people's minds off of it. You know, they're all lawyer movies, but every month we have a lawyer movie after our team meeting. And then after that, we'll either have some team bonding or team training. Again, we also get out. So, you know, we have, you know, some nonprofit things, you know, we're supporting a golf tournament, we may do a gala. And again, that kind of brings the team together in a way that doesn't involve actual client work. And then, you know, we're just constantly training people, right? I'm constantly talking to our team members, you know, about their overall mental health and the fact that they need to do things other than just work on the client. You know, what I really want is I want my team to be focused on clients and work from 8 to 5. And then I always tell them, look, if you respect my time, I'll respect your time, right? And that's something I say all the time, almost every month to everybody. Respect my time and I'll respect your time. I don't expect my team members to stay after 5 and work all night long and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know if that's what you were thinking of.
Yeah, that was exactly what I was thinking of. So yeah, a lot of the team outings that we plan, you know, we have a culture committee that, you know, we try and tie a lot of that stuff in. You know, I will tell you that at first I was not that I was opposed to the movies, but I was like maybe quarterly because in my head I was like, I have so much work to do. I cannot afford to do it every single month, but I think I've accepted it. Well, I'm pretty
well
sure.
And you're not just our chief marketing officer. You've
right.
recently been given the title of our director of team culture, which I think you just sort of fell into that. But certainly our team culture committee, which you head, is all about our team culture. Mm-hmm. And so when you come into our office, at least as an employee, I think even as a client, a potential client, you get the sense that we have a good culture, that we've bonded, and that we're not just so high strung because we're thinking about work. And clients may think, well, no, I want you thinking about my case all the time. No, you don't. Because then we get stressed out. We miss things or we don't handle them correctly. I think that firms that have great team cultures as we do end up providing better service to their clients and making their team members, their attorneys and non-attorneys feel much better about the place they work.
Right. And so I kind of just thought about this now, but kind of to put it into perspective for people that don't understand the, you know, this profession, a lot of people will watch attorney movies, and I'm going to use Suits as an example because I've watched Suits. And do you think that, I mean, I don't think you've seen Suits, right?
I've seen Suits.
Okay. So a lot of the time they're drinking, especially when something happens or something stressful happens, they're drinking. Do you think that that is somewhat true in some instances in this profession?
Unfortunately, I do. I think that a lot of, not obviously not every attorney, but there are too many attorneys that have alcohol either in their office through a separate bar or whatever, or just in a drawer. And I've seen many attorneys have alcohol readily available either in their office or in their kitchen, just to deal with it. And I think that that then creates a culture within the firm of drinking, or drinking is acceptable, or drinking in the middle of the day because you got some bad news, or having a drinking lunch because, you know, you and team members or whatever go out and have a few drinks during lunch. Everyone knows this is a dry firm, right? There's no alcohol in this firm. Mm-hmm. There's no alcohol in anyone's offices. We don't celebrate drinking. Every now and then we may go have a dinner or something. And, you know, when it's definitely off time, we won't have drinks. So, for example, when we do something during lunch, everyone knows don't drink. So we have a dinner where everyone's off for the rest of the night and they want to drink. Then, of course, I'm not their mommy or daddy, and they can drink. I'm still not going to drink. But we definitely have a culture that makes sure that the priorities are that we don't drink. And I think everyone, I've told everybody in my firm that I don't drink, right? And I've reinforced it. You know, I've told everybody I don't eat meat. And I've reinforced it. So I think that your culture definitely has to start from the top down.
Well, I really enjoyed discussing this topic with you, and I think it was really good to put out all that information and just kind of get an insight and talk about different areas of this profession where it could relate to. But I kind of wanted to finish with a little fun segment that I call Would You Rather? And so I have two options that you're going to have to explain which one you would rather do, okay?
Okay.
So would you rather defend a high-profile corporate client in a high-stakes trial or advocate for an underprivileged individual in a groundbreaking pro bono case?
Well, I think this is a question of pitting, quite frankly, money versus cause, right? Money versus principle, because I have represented banks and big companies and that kind of stuff in my background and my history. And certainly I enjoyed the financial benefits of having those type of clients and having cases where there's a lot of work that needs to be done. So obviously you're going to get a lot of money for those cases. But remember, I used to have a big high volume practice where I did represent creditors and banks and all that kind of stuff. And I did give up that money, you know. When we sit here today, I will tell you that representing someone on a pro bono basis against a big company would definitely be my cup of tea now, because that's just instilled in me now. That's who I am. You know, I do represent the Davids versus the Goliaths as we speak, and I don't see that changing anytime soon.
Okay, nice. Good to know. One last thing before we cut it off. This Saturday is something very, very special, and we kind of discussed it in the pilot. And so if you didn't get to hear the pilot, on Saturday is Benjamin's 55th birthday. So I thought that he would be eligible for the senior citizen discount now, but apparently he already is.
Yes. Some places I became a senior citizen at 50.
Yeah. So just wanted to wish you a happy early birthday, and I hope that you had a good weekend or next week and the rest of the month, and hopefully the year's good to you.
Well, you understand that this is a working weekend for both of us.
Oh yeah.
Why is that?
We have our second Saturday series this Saturday. It's going to be on Lemon Law. He's going to talk about the ins and outs of Lemon Law, what they entail, and how to help consumers if they're a victim of Lemon Law. So we hope to see you there to ask questions and get as much information as y'all need.
Yeah, we really thought about whether or not we should pre-record that program, but I've been out of the office in court this week, so we really haven't been able to do it. So on my birthday, I will be here filming live at 10 a.m. My next Second Saturday series for both the public and for attorneys. We can get CLE credit. And again, this month, as Alexa said, is all about Lemon Law.
Yeah, we hope to see you there. And I think that'll conclude this episode.
Yeah. Have a good day, folks. And thank you, Alexis, for hosting this podcast.
My pleasure. See you next time.
Bye-bye.